like a father feeds his children, like a shepherd leads his flock. The Lord will always guide us and show us where to walk. And in times when we have plenty, in times when we have none,
share with you on the same thing that we usually share about, which is about working for God. Amen. And working for God is the highest and greatest job a person can do. If you haven't had the opportunity to do other jobs, and you are just a pastor, you may think that other jobs are greater than the job of being a pastor. But I've had the opportunity of being a doctor, one of the most valued, honored, and dignified professions. And I can tell you that being a servant of God is far higher and better than to be any doctor or surgeon of toenails and fingernails. Amen. So, once we are in the ministry, our heart must be to do well and be good ministers of the gospel. Amen. Unfortunately, many people are not good at ministry. You see, you can be good at something, and you can be average, and you can be poor at it. And when you are not good in something, it makes you branch out into other areas which you suspect you may be better at. Many ministers are not good at ministry. They are not good ministers, and they are not very successful in ministry. And because of that, they branch out into so many other things. What are the things that people have been branching out into? People branch out into business. A lot of pastors are now businessmen, and they claim that Jesus spoke more about money than anything else. That is absolute nonsense. If you preach that, I'd like to see you after church. Amen. Jesus did not speak more about money than about anything else. Do not try to change the Bible to suit your new ideas and the new things that you want to do with the ministry. You cannot change the gospel and the word of God into something funny that is not the case, just because of your desire to do something else. So a lot of pastors are lay pastors, that is, they are not in full-time ministry because they are not good at ministry. Yeah. I believe in lay pastors. I believe in lay ministry. Like somebody can be a pastor and he does some other job. Or you can be a pastor and you are a student, or a pastor and a worker. I have 1,800 pastors under me in my church, and so I should know something about that. And I myself was a pastor and a student, and then I was a pastor and a medical doctor for 1 year, and after that I was a pastor and a businessman for 1 year. I was selling sand and stones for 1 year. Alright, I had a tipper truck and I was selling stones and sand. Okay, and then after that the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, give thyself wholly. Are you people using a screen here? No screen? Okay. Give thyself wholly. 1 Timothy 4:15. Give thyself wholly to these things, that thy profiting may appear to all. So then I stopped business. I stopped medicine. I stopped being a student. I stopped everything. And it's okay. Fine. I became a full-time give thyself wholly person. Wow. That was in 1991, 1st of January. Yeah. So since then, I've given myself wholly. I saw the date here, 1988 to 2000. That's my church also, 1988. That's the same. Wow. Yeah. So, since 1991, 1st January, I gave myself wholly, like completely. I don't do business at all. I don't mix it at all. You know, but I believe that there is a place for people to be doing business or work and at the same time be pastors. I even wrote a book about it. I believe so much that it is a good thing that I wrote a book about it called Lycos. Lycos is a word, a Greek word or a Latin word that means a layman. So this book is about lay people, volunteers, lay pastors, laymen, people who are not professional, but they just, you know, lay in whatever they are doing. You know, so that is nice. But there are other things. There is a higher level of ministry, which is not being a lay person. Okay? That is a professional, where you give yourself completely to ministry. You know, which I believe is real ministry. Yes. For instance, I am a lay photographer. Like, I like taking pictures, but it's not my main work. I'm just a lay photographer. You get it? Yes. And I'm a lay many things. I'm a lay jockey, horse rider. Yeah, my father used to have all race horses. So I'm a lay jockey. Yeah. I'm not serious. You get it? I'm a lay farmer, yes. I'm a lay farmer. I have a small farm with 10 cows. That's my farm. I'm a lay farmer. I'm not serious. So these cows, can you imagine? I've had them for more than 10, 12 years. And they've grown from 10 to about 12. So it shows you that I'm not a serious farmer. You get what I'm saying? Because I'm just a lay farmer. Sometimes people, one time somebody came and stole 3 of them, and I didn't even follow. I said he should take them away. I cannot follow him. So I'm not a full-time farmer. I'm a lay pianist. I play the piano just as a lay thing. You get it? Yeah. I'm not giving myself wholly to piano playing. I'm a lay drummer. I played drums in church for a long time. I played piano in church for a long time. But I'm not serious. So it's just something I do on the side. But for ministry, the ministry that Jesus did, he went about preaching, teaching, and healing. The work of ministry. Where Peter said, it is not fit that we should... What am I doing wrong? Speaker is right here. Oh, sorry. Okay. Peter said, it is not right that we should leave the word of God and serve tables, but we will give ourselves to the word of God and to prayer. For that one, I have given myself wholly to that. I'm not a lay person when it comes to that. Okay. Now, many people are not giving themselves wholly to the ministry, and many people are not successful and are not able to do the ministry well because they don't know how to do it well. And because of that, they are just semi-demi pastors, and they are quasi pastors, and they are half-baked ministers of the gospel. And it is because people do not give themselves completely to what God has called them to do. And sometimes people do not know what to do in the ministry. Now, when I became a pastor, I qualified as a medical doctor in 1989 on the 10th of March at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I became a doctor, and I worked in the hospital for some time. Then when I came into the ministry, my first question was, now that I am a pastor, what am I going to do on Mondays? What am I going to do on Tuesdays? What am I going to do on Wednesdays? What am I going to do on Thursdays? What am I going to do on Fridays? What am I going to do on Saturdays? And what am I going to do on Sundays as a pastor? Because when I work in the hospital, on Monday, we have what we call major ward rounds. Major ward rounds, where we go round every patient with a large team of the doctors, nurses, medical students, and so on. Major ward rounds. On Tuesdays, we have a clinic where we go to what we call the OPD, the outpatient department. On Wednesdays, we have minor surgery, okay, where we operate on small things like lumps and things where you don't have to put the patient to sleep so deeply, or if to sleep just for a few minutes, or you can just be drowsy. You understand? We've got minor surgery. We have several cases like that. Then on Thursdays, we have major surgery. That's when you put the patient to sleep 3 hours, 4 hours, major cases that have been lined up. Okay? Then on Friday, we are on emergency duty till Saturday from 8 to 8, 24 hours. And then on Sunday, if you are on weekend duty, it crosses into Sunday. Then Monday, you come and start again, a major ward round. So every day, we know what we are doing. So when I became a pastor, I wanted to... So what am I going to do on Monday? In this profession, do you understand? Like, what does a pastor do on Mondays? What does a pastor do on Tuesdays? What does a pastor do on Wednesdays? And what should he do on Thursdays? Wow. And most pastors don't know what to do. So, doctor, where is it? And so, we wrote a book, What It Means, where is Transform Your Pastoral Ministry? Right there. Yes. What It Means to Become a Shepherd. What It Means to Become a Shepherd. Now, this book, Transform Your Pastoral Ministry, is a follow-up to this book and explains, there are only 4 points in this book. PVCI. P for prayer, V for visitation, C for counseling or teaching, and I for interaction. This is the work of a pastor. Yes. A pastor has these 4 things. Remember, and I'm not going to go into this. I'm just going to mention things. And you go and check. Anything that I say that is not in the Bible, consider it as absolute nonsense. And just ignore it. But if it's in the Bible, then you better look again twice at it. Even if you didn't know it, even if you didn't believe it before. It's in your interest. Amen. Yeah. Now, PVCI. So this book is divided into 4 sections. Section P for prayer, V for visitation, section C for counseling or teaching, and section I for interaction. A pastor is not a prime minister. He is a pastor. So he has to interact with the people. Prime ministers don't interact with anybody. They just come on television and make speeches and go away. But a pastor has to stay there and interact with the people as a shepherd. V, a pastor must do visitation. Jeremiah 23 verse 2 says, I am against you pastors because you have not visited my sheep. In this book, you'll find the types of visitation. Visits of Jesus. You see the visits of Jesus. Jesus visited people. You see the visits of Paul. You see the visits of Peter. You see different ministers and how they visited people. And when pastors don't know that visitation is a major work of a pastor, is to visit. Jesus visited this earth for 3 years, and the pastors are to visit people in their homes, pray for them. You know, one of the pastors I learned this from is a pastor in the Philippines, David Samral. He has his church was started by Lester Samral, and he has the largest church in the Philippines, over 30,000 members. I was there a few weeks ago. And he told me, you know, I learned a lot of a visitation thing through interacting with him many years ago. He said he visits all his church members, all 30,000, every 4 months. He visits everybody, like he and his pastoral team. He has his schedule. His schedule is given to him. You are visiting this person, this person. When you go to his office, he has the map of the city of Manila, a city with millions of people, and every church member and every church is represented by a pin. If you are a member, you will be on his map, and your house, your address. And a pastor is to visit. And when you read this book under the section of visitation, you have so many things. The secrets behind the power of visitation. Yeah, 3 secrets. Rules for visitation. 12 reasons why pastors must visit their sheep. If it's not in the Bible, anything you see that is just an idea, it's nonsense. Just throw it away. But if it's in the Bible, then you, because you are a minister, and because you are committed to developing, thank you, committed to growing in the ministry, must accept to study it and check it out for yourself. Yes, because God is always in the business of transforming our ministry. He's transforming your ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. And then you see visits of Jesus Christ. 5 visits that brought about a permanent change. And then it goes on. Different visits. It's amazing when you see how God visited this. God visited Abraham. God visited Adam. Different visits of Paul, of Peter, etc. It's amazing. And Jeremiah 23 verse 2 is the most amazing verse, because it says, I am against you pastors because you have not visited my sheep. That's strong. And it's the only place in the Old Testament that word pastor is used. So your ministry is transformed. Then PVCI, P for prayer. The work of a pastor is prayer, you know, and pastors are supposed to pray a certain number of hours every day. You know, one day I was with a pastor and he said to me, hey, you know, I can't even pray for 30 minutes every day. And I was not surprised. His church was small and always getting finished, you know, because in this book I share about 10 reasons why every minister should pray. And one of the reasons is because the very first pastors of this church, our church, the very first person who was a pastor, Peter said, look, it is not right for us to leave the word of God and serve tables. We will give ourselves to 2 things. Number 1, to prayer. And number 2, we'll give ourselves to the ministry of the word. And if you are, because we don't do these things, that's why we go and take up businesses and other jobs and other things, because we don't even know what we are supposed to do on Mondays, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah. We don't even know. We don't even know what a pastor's work is. But you see, because I came from a very structured work, where Mondays we do this, Tuesday we do this, Wednesday we do this, Thursday we do this, Friday we do this, I came into the ministry asking myself, what on earth is a pastor supposed to do? And I found out. PVCI. And then C for counseling or teaching. A pastor is supposed to preach the word. And you know, when I went to Korea, I learned from Yonggi Cho, the pastor of the largest church, Monday is off. You will not find anybody in the church on Monday. Only security. And Monday is also off for me. Nobody, all our church pastors, everything closes down. Monday is off. Sunday is a working day for us. You cannot go to any of our churches and find the church empty at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's full of people till the night. And in Korea, the same. The church is full of people till night. You go at 8 o'clock, they are having rehearsals, they are doing things, there's a group here, group here, group here, all kinds of things. You see, we are not serious about ministry. That's why we've gone to pick businesses, and every pastor is a half-baked pastor and a half-committed minister. That is how the ministry is. Because we have not taken the ministry as a serious and noble, great profession that you can throw yourself into for the rest of your life. And you see, what does the Bible say? Give yourself wholly to these things, that thy profiting may appear to all men. And as I'm here, you people don't know how far it is from Accra to Cape Town or to Worcester for us to come here. Why don't you try coming there? I never see any South African pastor outside South Africa. I swear to maybe when you are going to America for an American conference. I've never seen a South African pastor, let's say in Zimbabwe, even just next door. Like he's a South African and he's come to start a church here. Or let's say maybe in Ghana or in Zambia or maybe in Cameroon, that a South African has come here, is establishing a church. Have you seen one before? Never. Never. Yeah. I've never seen it before. And some of you criticize Nigerians. Nigerian will come to South Africa, start a church. You criticize him when you do nothing. You know, in South Africa, you know, you are so proud, you think you are the richest country, and you are probably the richest and the nicest country. If you are the richest and the nicest and the biggest and the best, how come you are not affecting anybody else? No, I'm not talking about economy. Don't think of economical. Forget about economy. I'm talking spiritual. You are spiritual people. This is a spiritual conference about spiritual things. Don't think of economy. We are talking anointing. Since you are the biggest and the best and the richest, and you know everything, and you have been receiving a lot from America, how come even Botswana or even Malawi, you never see a South African anywhere outside South Africa, even from this Western Cape to just Polokwane? You can to cross. Since you know so much, and since you have the Holy Spirit, one of the ways you can see when the Holy Spirit has departed from a group of people, I'll show you. Anything I say that's not in the Bible, what will you do? Throw it away. Throw it away. Yeah. Let's read a verse together, okay? Don't read. You know it. What I'm going to, everything I say, you know already, because you know a lot. So you listen. Everything I say, you know. What I'm going to say, you know it. You can't be here without knowing. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Witnesses. And to me, where? In Jerusalem. And number two, and in Jerusalem again, isn't it? And then number three, in Jerusalem for the fourth time. And then again, in Jerusalem again, isn't it? Wow. Wow. Hey! You shall receive power after my Spirit has come upon you. And you shall have nice Mercedes-Benz cars and BMWs. Yes. And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall, above all things, you shall prosper above all things, and as your soul prospers. Yeah. Most pastors are preaching about money. preaching about success, preaching about prosperity. But judgment is going to fall on you soon if you don't change. Judgment is going to fall on you soon because you are a liar. The gospel is not about money. You are a wicked liar. You are a fallen pastor. I'm telling you. Listen to me. You have apostasy comes on the church when the church stops witnessing and winning souls that Jesus died for. This is the reason for the gospel. This is why Jesus Christ came to this world. If you don't know, he never came to make us rich. He never came to make that. Don't try to change the things. God is not against riches or money. Do you think if we don't have money we can come here? Look at the trucks and the kind of things that we have used to come here. Do you think if we were poor we can come here? Not at all. There is nobody is giving us even 1 rand to do this crusade. Whether you give even 10 rand or you don't give, it doesn't make any difference. We are doing our crusade with or without any support from anybody, including you, and especially you. Yes. How much are you giving? How much are you giving? What do you have even? You don't have much. You have just loans and debts and mortgages. Look, let's read our Bible carefully. You shall receive power. Okay? You see, the sign that the Holy Spirit is on a church or on a group of people. I mean, unless I'm reading the different Bible from your Bible, you receive power and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem. Then you will go to Judea. Then you will go to Samaria. Then you will go to the uttermost parts of the earth. What are we doing? Do you see anybody going anywhere? This is a sign that the Holy Spirit is not in the church, but rather the spirit of the world. What do you see in the church? An impartation of lust for material things. The pastors are imparting a lust for money and a lust for cars, a lust for riches, a lust for prosperity. It's coming from the pulpit. And the members are all living to desire these things. This is all that we want. And the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the things that are in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life are not of the Father. You see, that's the spirit of the world. That's in the church, not the spirit of God. So, my dear friends, listen, let us come back to the Lord before his judgment comes completely onto the church. One of the judgments that has come on the church is poverty. A spirit of poverty has struck the church.
Oh yes.
Wow. You see, Bible says, because they lusted after these things, the Lord sent leanness into their soul. They lusted after things. The South African church is one of the poorest churches. Financially, when we had our crusade in Pell, the crowd was much more than the crowd that we had here. The whole offering that killed $1,200. Yeah, when you put it all together, $1,200. Do you know how much it cost us to come here? It cost us over $1 million to have all, not just here, we are doing about 20 crusades. We flew in people, trucks, this, that. That's what it cost us to be here. All your offerings, $1,200. It's one of the poor. We've been to many countries. The offerings in Liberia, a war-torn country, is 10 times the offerings in South Africa. Times 10. It's not that I'm imagining. I'm saying we don't charge. We just take an offering. If you give, fine. Don't give, go away. No problem.
Wow.
Very poor. A spirit of poverty has been sent as a judgment. So as we preach about money, we are becoming poorer and more debt struck and more strapped in. Yeah. Yeah. God calls you, He will pay for whatever He's called you to do. You don't have to wind things up and create unusual and deceptive doctrines. I don't have to come and stand here and teach you chemistry. It doesn't mean that chemistry is not true. Chemistry is correct. This is not a place for chemistry. I'm here about the word of God, not about chemistry. I cannot take money, finance, and all these things and bring it as the main thing that we are teaching in the church. You wonder what is going on. And you see pastors imparting a spirit of lust and grasping spirit to grasp everything and get as many things as we can in this world. Earthly mindedness. Hey. So anyway, I'm saying that many of us do not give ourselves wholly, and we are not becoming experts in just pure ministry. And I don't know what Dr. Ogo was sharing with you about. Can you give me the church growth books? These ones. You know, for me, when I became a pastor, when I talk about transformation, I'm talking about a church growing. Church growth. Or having a mega church. Pastors must have a dream and a vision to have a big church. Why? Why? Because in this book, I share in the first chapter, and the preaching about this made me famous in Korea. First time I preach in Korea. Since then, I've been invited every single year since I preach about this. 25 reasons why you should have a mega church. 25 reasons why you should have a mega church. Why should you have a mega church? In the Bible, the churches were mega. 3,000 people were saved. Acts 2, Acts 4, 5,000 people were saved. Not 200, not 100. So a pastor should dream to have a church according to what we saw in the Bible. And the Bible says the glory of the latter house will be greater. Not, it will not be less or diminished. This church is going to be even greater in the years to come than whatever it has been in this Maranatha Center right here. Because that is the prophecy for the latter house. And we are in the latter church. You must believe God for a greater ministry. And when you have a mega church, you have more people. You have more souls are saved, which is the will of God. You have more laborers who are raised up. You have more workers who are raised up. You have more money in the church. When the church is, you don't have to do business. How do you think we flew here? How do you think we came here? So many people working. Everybody here has come from South. There is no local person. Yeah. How do you think we are doing this? A mega church can support evangelism when the church is big and powerful. But if the church is small, you are even struggling to even pay your salaries or to even pay the electricity bill or pay your rent or even just survive. And you see, pastors, we don't see the church as a work, like something you can give yourself to. You see, but I see the church work as something a person can give himself to, like, this is my life's work, and therefore I am going to give myself to it. Look at the books that I'm sharing with you. These are not books about getting money. These are not financial books. And you find out that pastors are not even interested in books. Are not even interested in reading or even acquiring the books. Amazingly, something that would change your life, you'll find the pastor will look at it and say,
How much is that? You know something? Give me 2 samosas and 1 Coca-Cola, please. They want to go and get something to eat. Yes.
Amazing. Listen, for me, I tell you, my work is the ministry. And I give myself completely and wholly to ministry. And the profiting of it appears to all. That's why it's appearing to you here. My prophecy in the ministry is appearing to you right here in Worcester. I've never heard of Worcester. I've never heard of Worcester. I know of Worcester in America. This is the first time I heard of Worcester in South Africa. Yeah. Never heard of Worcester. Never heard of Powell. Or Crusade. We have a map, a big map. And we look at the map, say, here, 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 here. Let's go here. We choose and we go. And we are moving. Wow. Yeah. That's how we came here. And how much does it cost? We sit down, we calculate. And we have enough money. Okay, let's go. With or without anything from anybody. Here. Yeah. That's how we came here. I believe that many of us will see a great change if you respect ministry and you respect the work of God. Look, there is a song we used to say, it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Serving the Lord is the greatest key to even prosperity. Rather than trying to find money, it's not the key to prosperity. My magic verse, I have a magic verse in the Bible. How many want to know my magic verse? I have a magic verse which is more magical than any prosperity things you people have been teaching. I wish above all this. Do you want to know my magic verse? How many want to know my magic verse? Only these people want to know. So those of you here, come to the side. Let me give you. How many want to know my magic verse? My magic verse is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that people are dying for and killing themselves for will be added unto you. That's my magic verse. And that's a magic verse for pastors. Seek ye the kingdom. Seek your work. Seek to build a mega church. Seek whatever it needs for you to get to build a mega church or church growth. How many books have you ever seen that the title is church growth? I mean, tell yourself the truth. How many books have you seen that the title of the book is church growth? And you are a pastor, you are not even interested in it.
Like, all right, bro. What is up with church growth? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Or church planting. How many books have you ever seen that the title of the book is church planting? I mean, how many books have you ever seen the title is church growth or mega church? Or transform your pastoral ministry. This one. Transform it. That your ministry can actually be transformed.
Look, I tell pastors, you know, me, no one approved of me. And no one sent me. I just loved God and I wanted to serve God. People have seen visions of Jesus, those kind of things. I always pray for it. But up till today, I have not yet seen him in that way. One of my pastors even came to stay in my house the other day. You know, then some 4 months later, I met him and he said, you remember that I came to your house those 2 days? I said, yeah, I remember. He said, well, on the second night when I was there, the door opened and Jesus walked into my room. I said, really? He said, yeah. On the second night. And he said, stretch out your hand. And he stretched out his hand and put something in his hand, and his hand began to burn. He said, I've given you a gift. And when he said that, you know, I had to show that I was happy, you know, that Jesus had come to see him. But I wasn't happy at all, because I was thinking to myself that I am the owner of the house, and if Jesus is coming to this house to see somebody, I feel that he should see me at least before going to the visitors. Yes. Don't you agree with me? Yes. And I've also been waiting for Jesus to appear to me, but I still haven't had that experience. But Jesus appeared to me, stretch out your hand, have this and all those things. But just to serve him, whom I love, just to serve him is my great blessing and opportunity if I can do something for the one who died for me, the one who saved me, the one who changed me. Yes. And I started my church in a classroom of a school. You see the blocks, classroom 1, classroom 2, classroom 3, classroom 4, and I was in classroom 1. And there was no space there because somebody else had the church before me. And I said, listen, if I can start my church at 6 a.m. and to 8 o'clock, you come and have, you start at. And he said, okay, you can come early at dawn. I started my church, little classroom, few people, 16 people, 11 people, four people will come. Weekday, my weekday services, we sat around in a ring. We sat around like this, in a space like this, sit around. And I preached to them. I had no members. I had to go out, clap in a hostel where nurses were learning how to be nurses, students, clap and say, if you want to give your life to Jesus, come out of your room. I'm standing here with my guitar. I sang a song. Greater love has no man than this love. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us all. Your boyfriend may love you. Your girlfriend may love you. But none will die for you. Ooh, the love of Jesus. The sweet, sweet love of Jesus. Love of Jesus surpasses all. Then I preach, I sing, I'm my singer, and I preach. And I play my guitar, and I stand alone at 5 a.m. in the morning. And I preach to the people in the hostel, in the school. I say, and if you want to give your life to Jesus, come out. I'm standing here with my guitar. Come to God today. And they came. Some of them are still in my church up to today. That's how I got my members. That's how I got my members. Yeah. Preaching and singing early in the morning. I have nobody. I was in a classroom. And I wanted to have a big church. That's why I look at pastors and I say, they have no interest in even the work they say they are doing. They are more interested and they feel that you have to do some kind of a business or something else. I have given myself to ministry, to God's work. Seek ye first the kingdom. Seek the kingdom. Look, let it be a priority, a big thing for you. Study it, learn it, read about it. Desire to transform your ministry. When you see a book like this, even the title alone, you say, wow, this is what I need to transform my ministry from this little group I have into something mega. Should be interesting to you. Should be interesting. But amazing, pastors will not be interested. Workers will not be interested. When they see a money, a book, Success Without Limits, or Abundance, Step to Abundance, or Success Power, Success to whatever, having money, 7 ways to get money, millionaires, step to becoming a millionaire, how you can be rich, how you can have breakthrough without sweat. These are the things that you want, but not ministry and God. Yeah. No wonder God is not helping us. He's not helping. The money is not coming. Preach about money every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. No money. The pastors are becoming poorer, more debts, more mortgages. Your debts are strangling you. Hey! When God wanted to bless me financially, He just gave me a word. He said to me, don't borrow. He didn't really say to me, don't borrow. But he blocked the only chance I had to borrow. When I went to borrow, they said, no. And they look at me in the church. We're so useless. If I lend this money to you, I'm going to have my bank will collapse. Yeah. That was the first and the last time, almost 30 years ago, I went to the bank. After that, I learned how to do everything with cash. That's how I said, we don't owe any money. We are not paying for any of our tracks on a monthly basis. We don't pay for any church on a monthly basis. We don't have it. There's nothing like that. We didn't take a loan to come here. We didn't take a Most pastors are in debt. If you go into their thing, they don't have anything. That's why they can't give. When you say give, they'll be looking at you. Ooh. Because a borrower is a servant of the lender. So instead of serving God, you are serving FNB Bank, or you are serving, what are the banks you have here? APSA. You are a servant of APSA, not a servant of God. I didn't write the Bible. The Bible says the borrower is a servant of the lender. You are a servant of APSA, not a servant of God. And you will do what APSA says you should do. That's why they advertise all the time. They should actually change their advert to servants, apply now. Servants, apply to be a servant. Transform your pastoral ministry. How many of you want to transform your pastoral ministry? You must. Amen. Now, as I move along, as you can see, I'm introducing, because we cannot stay here for very long. We're just having a few minutes together, and I'm sharing with you. But you see, God so loved the world, He sent Jesus. Jesus ministered for 3 years and left us a book. The book is called the Bible. And everybody here knows God through the Bible. I'm telling you, the truth is that we have learned about God and come to know God and come closer to God by reading a book, or somebody telling us what is in a book. So books, you see, books are the greatest treasure that a pastor can ever have.
Oh yes.
Yes. And that is why if my books were not printed, sometimes like there's a delay with the printing and we don't have the books, I cancel the crusade, because to me the most important part is for pastors to have the books. And not as making money, but as if you hate yourself. One day I was giving books to people, were selling books. The pastor said, I don't understand what you are doing. He said, you must have had a vision or something to do what you are doing with your books. As I give books virtually for nothing. Yeah. And I watch all the time, and you see. Now let me just read to you a chapter 24 from this book, The Art of Leadership. The chapter is called, If You Can't Read, You Can't Lead. Now, 7 reasons why every leader or pastor loves books. And I'm going to give you one or two of the reasons. The reason why a pastor loves book is because he knows, number one, and you can find this in chapter 24. Make sure you get the books. And I don't know if they've explained to you that we're doing registration for the conference. And have you explained that? Yes. When you register, I forget how much it is, $30 or something. Is Serena somewhere here? Yes. Yes, that's $30, I think it is. $30. Serena should tell me. I see her running. Is it $30? The registration for the conference that we are upgrading to. $40, yeah. This is 40 books. It costs real cost is about $240. Times whatever your exchange rate is. I don't know your can. We go to different countries, so we always stay with the dollar to help us not be confused. It's about $40. This is about $240, and that's even cheap, because you're assuming that a book costs $6. But you go to a bookshop, book costs $25, $20, $10. No book costs $6. So that's even cheap. $240, and we are saying register. If you register for
$40, whatever the equivalent, 500 rands or whatever. We're going to give you this, the whole set. And you find the pastors rather say, oh no, I don't want to register, I don't want that. Amazing. Fantastic. And somebody will even ask, why would you do that? Why will you give that to... People don't realize that the first point for reading is that a book can make the difference to your whole life and ministry. There is no amount of money that is high for a pastor to acquire a book. There's nothing like that. There's no amount of money that is high. Now listen very carefully to this point, because many of us don't realize that we know God through books. You see, I say, Kenneth Hagin is one of my spiritual fathers, if not my main spiritual father, Kenneth Hagin, those of you who know. He describes visions where Jesus walks into his room, talks to him, pulls a chair, sits down by his bed, and he says, I could even touch him. No, this is what I want. But unfortunately, I'm over 50 years old. I've still not yet have such an experience. So I have to go by the Bible and what I'm reading. I don't know about you. Maybe you are seeing Jesus every 3 weeks. He comes to your room to discuss things with you and so on. But this is not what I am experiencing. So for me, reading is very important. Reading is very, very important. And reading can change your life. Look, how many have heard of Martin Luther? Martin Luther. Yes. Martin Luther was an unknown Catholic priest. He used to believe in penance, that is, you get saved by doing certain things as a Catholic. You pay this money. There were some steps, they called it the Sancta Scalum. Sancta Scala. Steps which Jesus stood on when Pontius Pilate judged him. The Sancta Scala. They would walk on it on their knees. And when you walk on it on your knees, you get saved. This is what they were doing. They'll give you milk. They said this milk is from the virgin's breast. When you see it or you drink it, you'll be saved. When you have, there's a tooth, they see, when you see, it's from one of the lion in the lion's, Daniel and the lion's den, and so on and so forth. One more fantastic one I saw myself when I went to Cologne in Germany. At the end of the cathedral was a bright yellow light, and when I walked to the end, the very front of the cathedral, I saw three golden coffins suspended up in the air, surrounded by glass and light. I said, what is this? Right now, when you go to Germany, Cologne, you see them there. So I said, what are these? They said, these three coffins contain the three wise men who came to see Jesus when he was born. And these are some of the artifacts and things that when you see, you get saved. So this is what Martin Luther was following. But he was always afraid and not sure whether he was a Christian. So one day, the senior priest decided that this Martin Luther priest is confused. So the best thing to do is to send him to a Bible school to go and just be a lecturer. He cannot do much harm there. Are you with me? So they sent him to Bible school to go and lecture. When his lectures were, number one, the book of Ephesians and the book of Romans and Psalms. So when he started reading, he saw, you are saved by grace, by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. So, we have been climbing the Sancta Scala. We have been drinking the milk from the virgin's breast. We have been looking at Daniel in the lion's den, the lion's teeth. We have been doing all kinds of things to be saved. And he says, we are saved by grace. He was shocked. And he couldn't say anything. For 2 years, he continued reading to see whether maybe he was imagining. After 2 years of reading, he summarized what he had learned and came to the church and nailed it on the church door. That's how the Reformation started. And how did Martin Luther become
become the famous Martin Luther. He became the famous Martin Luther by reading a book that he had already, but he had never read. But the Catholics do not read their book, the Bible much. So a book, you see, it can make the difference in your whole life and your whole ministry. If only you will read what is in the book. But pastors don't read, Christians don't read. In fact, somebody said, if you want to hide a secret from a black man, you put it in a book and he will just not see because he will not open the book. Hey! Are you still around or you're going home? Are you sure? How many want a great change in your life and your ministry? A great change in your life and ministry comes from books. I'm telling you, it's not a gimmick to sell. You check for yourself. Why would I come here and offer you this? And I say, do you know how it was printed? It's not printed in South Africa. It's printed outside. Printed in Asia. Brought here, cleared customs. This, they transported up to here to give it to you as a gift. And then you say, hey, what is the word? How much is a samosa? Can I have two samosas and one Coca-Cola, please? You see them discussing. You are discussing your life away. Listen to me, my friends. Listen carefully. For me, my life was transformed by a book. I grew up, one day somebody gave me a book by Kenneth Hagin. And I read it. When I read it, I said, wow. What else is there that he has written? And then I went back to find out more. Then I started reading. Then I started listening and hearing. Amen. Listen to me, my dear friends. The anointing is what is used to do the work of God. When you look at that, amplify your ministry. How many would like to amplify your ministry? There is a sweet influence of the anointing on us when the holy anointing is on you. Steps to the anointing. Oh yeah, steps into the anointing. Catching the anointing. You cannot do much without the anointing. Because the Bible says it's not by might, it's not by power. It is by my spirit. I cannot do what I'm doing just natural thinking. There would even not be any miracles. You saw yesterday from the guy who said 23 years he couldn't hear. These things don't just happen. Look, one day I went somewhere, you know, a pastor came to see me after. He said, Bishop, Mr. Bishop, man, I want to tell you something, you know. These miracles that we have at the crusade, I think that you may not know the value of it. He said, another pastor came here some years ago and had a crusade, prayed for the sick, nobody got healed. And the people in the area took stones and started stoning him. He said, look, you don't have an idea. You can have it. He told me, you can have a crusade, there will not be any miracles. He said, we saw it right in this town. They took stones and the pastor almost cursed them. In fact, he's not sure whether he cursed them. Do you remember that town? Yeah. You cannot do much without the anointing. And when you read books, it was the book that introduced me to the anointing. Yeah. I got introduced to Kenneth Hagin. And I tell you, when I read about, I started to like him. So when you like somebody and you admire somebody, you open up. Like if you are a boy and a girl and you are married, let's say you are married for the first time. We don't have so much of that these days. Almost everybody is not a virgin. But if you are married, or whatever, and you admire the person, you open up as a girl. Is it not true? You open your legs wide to receive. Because of your admiration. But if you are angry with the person, you close up.
You are teaching.
you don't understand my message, isn't it? All of you here don't understand what I'm talking about. You do. Then why are you looking so straight-faced as though you don't understand such things? When you admire somebody in your spirit, you open up to the person. You don't even realize it just happens naturally. You relax. Out of admiration, you relax. And you, when you criticize somebody, when you attack the person, you are clamped up from the person. That is why you cannot receive from people you criticize. You cannot receive from people you attack. If I come to this town and you criticize me, you cannot receive from me. Because your spirit is closed up and clamped up towards whatever I am bringing. But if you relax and you allow yourself to admire, you start to open up. And before you realize, something powerful is entering you. Yes. You can't receive from people you criticize. You can't receive from people you criticize. Yes. And you see, the governments that we have, if they learn from those who are ahead, they would. But if you just criticize the people who are ahead, you don't learn from them. And you go back and do everything, undo everything they did, and do every mistake they've learned not to do. Because all you do is to criticize and not to learn even one thing from those who are ahead of you. That's why people who criticize fathers don't usually do well. Because what your father could have taught you or what you could have benefited from your father, you are close up to him and it's a curse to you. Listen, I'm talking about reading. And I'm saying that reading opened me up to the anointing. Reading makes the difference to your life. Look, I tell you, many years ago, I was in a student, medical school, but I started my church when I was a student. I had about 25, 30 people. And one day, I was sent to a city outside the capital to do practical field work. Whilst I was there, I had Kenneth Hagin tapes playing and I was praying. And I finished all my work and I was more relaxed. One night, I knelt down by my bed and started praying and I fell asleep. How many have fallen asleep while you were praying before? Don't worry, when you fall asleep, God can see you on your knees. And the tape recorder was right there. We used to play tapes in those days. 1988. This was in 1988. A tape was playing over there. I woke up at about 2 a.m., 3 a.m. and continued praying. Kenneth Hagin was preaching. It was an auto-reverse tape recorder. So when it gets to the end, it goes back. It goes back. It goes back. It goes back. He played all night. Suddenly, at about 3 a.m., something jumped out of the tape and jumped into my belly. I felt something going into me. And then I heard a voice in the room. And the voice said, "From today, you can teach. From today, you can teach." Yeah. From today, you can teach. That was 1988. I had 25 people in my church. I went back after 1 month with that experience. I never expected it, just as I never expected to be the first person to land on the moon. I never expected what happened to happen. I didn't even know what had happened. I didn't even know if anything had happened. But I remembered what had happened, and the Lord had said to me, with a different voice from the one I heard when I was on my knees, that I will prove it to you. Oh yeah, and he's proving it to me. Look at me here standing 27 years later. 27 years later. I'm teaching you. Look at these books. I hadn't written any book. But the same teaching anointing that was on Kenneth Hagin, the same mantle
That's the mantle that I'm carrying. Teaching mostly pastors, teaching all over the world. I have over 10 million of these books in print. You go and ask pastors who've written a book. 2,000, 1,000 copies they may print, and nobody even buys it. These books are in Russian, Chinese, Korean, French, Spanish. I'm invited all over the world. You know, I was in Siberia. When I got there, they were interviewing me. And said, did you ever think you would be Dag Howard Mills? I said, what do you mean? I don't understand your question. He said, did you ever think you would be Dag Howard Mills? I said, what do you mean? He said, oh, you are famous here. Me, famous in Siberia. I'm from Ghana. I said, oh, you are famous here from your books.
Wow.
He said, everybody here has your books. Yeah, in Russia. I was in Korea. I said, so many white guys came in to take me. So why do you say, oh, your books, don't worry, your books are famous here. From different countries. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you. Listen, and that is power. How many South African pastors do you know who are reading books who are written in Chinese, in Korean, and in Russian, Spanish, in this, Swahili, even Afrikaans. I have some books in Afrikaans. Amazing. It's the power of God. Even to pay to translate it. To translate our books into Afrikaans with the most expensive translation. We paid more than $56,000 for translation into Afrikaans. Oh yeah. South Africans don't do things for free. That's my experience. Yeah. Everything pay. Yeah. The most expensive translation ever. My books are translated in Malagasy, in Madagascar. Popular. I've been invited to places where your book, we read your book, come and preach to us. Amazing. And I'm telling you, you see, the transformation came to me. When I say transform, I've been transformed out of a classroom for teaching with 30 chairs into cathedrals. Hallelujah. Cathedrals, many. I'm talking about transformation of your ministry. It's possible. Is it? But it's not by might. It's not by like forcing things. But it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Look, Jesus did not do any ministry until he was anointed. Look, if you had been in the town, thank God you were not born in Jesus' day. You just thank God about that. You wouldn't have been saved. Because Jesus was a well-known carpenter. If you wanted a coffin, you see Jesus. Jesus' coffins were there by the roadside. He was standing by selling coffins. He was making tables. When you want to roof your house, Jesus is the one you call. Remember, he was 30 years old when he began to minister. Most carpenters start from around, what age you start carpentry here? South Africa? 15? 18? Yeah, 15. Jesus must have been, there was no university in those days. Jesus must have been 15. He must have been well advanced into carpentry. Chairs, tables, doors, pulpit, everything. He'd be standing there, you call him, he was up and down. And then one day, huh? Are you listening to me? One day, he went out, John was preaching. That's why when you are proud, you will never receive from God. John did an altar call, said, how many here want baptism to wash away your terrible sins, you vipers? Jesus came forward for the vipers altar call. Jesus came forward to the vipers. Hey! Jesus came forward. When John saw Jesus coming forward for the vipers altar call, John immediately knew it was him. Because they had been told, you will see a sign. He said, ah! I cannot sign. I cannot. Jesus said, no. Suffer it to be so. Put his head into the water. No, I can't do that. I can't. I need to be baptized by you?
No. Do it. And he humbled himself. Look, the more humble you are, even to somebody else's ministry, is the door to your greatness. That was the first day Jesus became great. That is the moment when Jesus had not even preached one sermon. When he heard the voice, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." He hadn't healed one person or preached one message or done anything. Just humbling himself before John the Baptist. He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased."
When Jesus came out of the water, John the Baptist was telling him, "I'm so sorry about how I preached about vipers. I didn't mean you. And when you came forward, I'm so sorry. Please don't judge me. I beg you, please." Hey!
"This is my son. I like my boy. I like my, look at my humble boy. He's humbled himself in front of this ministry, in front of this man of God."
And then when he humbled himself, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And the Holy Spirit whispered to him, "I'm here now.
Hallelujah. It's time for power, power, display. I'm here."
When the Holy Spirit comes upon your life, you hear that whispering, "It's time for power. It's time to show power, power." That is when things change. That's when things change. That's when a change comes. You see, I'm talking about transforming your ministry. Your ministry is not transformed, and that is why you turn aside from ministry and you go into business. Because you can't see any future in ministry. But there is it's the greatest job. There is nothing greater than being in ministry. It's the greatest work a person can do. What work do you think could be greater than working for God? I mean, you think about the possible employers. The possible employers. Is God not the greatest employer that could ever be?
He is. He is. I love working for him. I'm glad I left medicine and I chose him. Excuse me to use the word, if it's the wrong word, like lover. I love him. Or I am his lover. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It's a great thing to like God. To love God. Loving God is a great thing and a great blessing. I will encourage you to give yourself to discover great things. That's why this book is a treasure. Look. Your ministry will be discovered in the pages of the books. The books are about the word. Everybody discovers his ministry from the word. John the Baptist found out who he was by reading. He found in Isaiah 40, there's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He saw it in the word. Jesus came, he saw it in the word as well. He saw the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Isaiah, he saw it as well. You discover your calling, you discover your ministry when you go through the pages of the word and you find things that God has called you to. You find it about yourself in the word. That is why the word of God is like a mirror. And that is why anybody who is into the word of God discovers so many wonderful wonders. Look, you know the story of the sheep, the lion sheep. You know the story of the lion sheep? One day, a lion gave birth to like 3 cubs. Some of you are greater than you know. Because you are not into the books and into the word. There was a lion who gave birth to 3 cubs. And you know hyenas don't like lions. So the hyena invaded the den of the lion when he went out to find food. And killed some and took one, was running away with the last one. He was being chased and he ran through a field which had sheep and a shepherd, and he had to drop the lion cub in the field and escaped for his life, the hyena. So this lion, baby lion, was now surrounded by sheep and grew up with the sheep. When the sheep were eating grass, he also started eating grass. Whatever the sheep did, he was moving with them. He was a little baby. He was a lion sheep. He didn't know who he was. So he was eating grass. He said, oh, it's time to eat. And there were so many sheep that the shepherd couldn't see that there was a little baby lion there. One day, the shepherd decided to take all the sheep down to the river to go and have a drink. So when they went down to the river, it was the lion sheep's turn, and he bent down his head into the river to drink, and he saw a reflection of himself in the water. He said, hey, I'm different from these guys. I'm different from these guys. I have different features. Hallelujah. He saw himself in the mirror and he realized, I'm not a sheep. I'm a different type of person. Wow. You see, the word of God is a mirror. It shows you who you are. It shows you your calling. It shows you that you can have a mega church. And when the lion sheep saw who he was just quiet. He was stunned. The next time the lions came around, he said, ah, these are my people. And he switched camps and joined the lions. And that was the end of him being a sheep. Clap for the lion sheep. Hallelujah. You are the lion sheep who is discovering who you are. You are discovering who you are. You are discovering who you are. And you can never discover who you are except through the word of God. Yes. And that is why we are making and trying so hard to make you to see a mega church. Church growth. Transform your pastoral ministry. Lay people in the ministry. Catch the anointing. These are wonders of the word. That's why I say you cannot lead if you cannot read. You cannot lead. I was introduced to the anointing. Now let me just share with you what happened to me that night. I heard a voice, something entered into me. Is it in the Bible? Everybody turn to Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2. Let's see what it says. Can you bring this, Makane, the one, this one, Makane original. Sorry. Bring it right, put it right here. Right. Yeah. Can you read it, please? There's one right behind there.
Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet.
Read it from verse 1 so that we know we are in context.
And he said unto me, son of man, stand upon thy feet. And I will speak unto thee.
And I will speak to you. Okay, then what happened when he spoke?
And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me.
The Spirit entered. You see, the anointing of the Spirit entered into me when he spake. You see, when you are listening to the word of God coming to you, the Spirit can enter into you. The anointing. Yes, that's what happened to me that night. I've been listening to Kenneth Hagin for 10 years. 10 years of listening to this man talking all the time. Sometimes the same message over and over and over again. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. Look at Acts chapter 10. I want you to read it. This is the famous message by Peter the
apostle when he went to Cornelius' house. Do you remember? And then at a point he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That sermon continues. And he preached all the way in Acts 10. And then in verse 44, something happened whilst Peter was preaching. Everybody say, whilst Peter was preaching. In other words, whilst Cornelius' household church was listening to the word of God. Look at what happened. Acts chapter 10.
Acts 10, 44. While Peter yet spake these words.
While Peter yet spake these words.
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy what?
Holy Ghost.
The Holy what?
Holy Ghost.
The Holy what?
Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost did what?
Fell on all them which heard the word.
Fell on them who were sleeping? Fell on them who were watching video, what do you call, video games, playing video games. What are these? You have these operas, opera, soap operas on your South African soap opera. What are they? Generation. It fell on all those who are watching Generation. Or those who are watching Nigerian movies. Read it again, brother.
While Peter yet spake this way.
While Peter yet spake these words,
the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard.
The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. This is what happened to me that night. Whilst I was listening and praying and just soaking in, the Spirit fell on me who was listening. There was somebody next door. The Spirit didn't fall on him. I know where he is today. The Spirit didn't fall on me. The Spirit fell on me. Yeah. But I was the one listening. I was praying, listening. And suddenly I was changed. I didn't even know. I didn't know I had become a minister. I was in my final year medical school. And my plans was becoming a doctor. I became a doctor the next year. That was June. I became a doctor in March the next year. But when the Spirit fell on me, I became empowered. One time I had a vision. It's more of a trance. When you see a vision or a dream where you are one of the actors, it's a trance. So in that vision, I was standing there and I could see myself. And the Lord came and stood by me and said, I want to show you something about yourself. I said, yeah. Then he held my stomach like this and opened it. My stomach, there were hinges here. My stomach was like a door. And this whole stomach opened from here to here, just opened like this. And when it opened, I was shocked at what was inside. Not even one intestine. There were three huge cables, electric cables like that, running 1, 2, 3. With power, and they were big power. When I saw, I said, power. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, I wanted you to see what is in you. And then he closed it up. That was it. Power. Amazingly, it is non-believers who even recognize power more than Christians. That's why Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, look, you know something? Nobody can do these things. Except God is with him. Look, nobody can do it. You can't do it. Sometimes you should analyze it. Why don't you get a truck and go to Zimbabwe and preach? No, not Zimbabwe. Go to Pretoria or Polokwane. Cross and go up higher. Yeah, just because you are a pastor or because you are an evangelist. How much more to go all the way to Congo or Zambia? Yeah. Jacob's uncle Laban, he told him, look, he was not a believer. He said, look, I've seen that the Lord has blessed me because of you. I can see there's something supernatural. Yeah. Listen, my friends, from that day, the Spirit entered into me. There is a girl, she's called Mercy. She's called Mercy. She was a nurse. She wrote a letter. She's the first person who recognized the anointing on my life. mean, one other thing I see great power is when I see the effect that my books have. I know that is the power of God. This girl called Mercy, she wrote a letter to her friend called Eunice and said, there is something different about Brother Dag. Yeah. She said, when I came back from that experience, I just preached about the prodigal son. Prodigal son is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I just started preaching about prodigal son. I have still 25, 30 people in my church. 25 maybe. She said, there's something different. She's the first person who saw. But it started to grow and grow and grow. It became a huge church. Yonggi Cho came from Korea, dedicated it. I left that church to my assistant, started another one. That's bigger now. I left that one. I've moved. And I have several cathedrals in the same city. It's a good sized church, but our churches are bigger than this. Oh yeah. Many, many of them. We have 400 building projects as I'm speaking now. Churches, all churches. I'm a church person. I don't do business. My work is church. Wow. Are you there or you are going home? I'm trying to encourage you to take ministry as a real and important thing. That is a great profession and a job that you can learn how to do it from nothing. There are things to learn. All these things, give me the Macarius. All these things are things to learn. You can learn to catch the anointing. You can learn to catch the anointing. You can be anointed. If I was not anointed, I would not be standing here. Look, one day I tell you people, you don't know. You don't know what I've been through. You know, some of you, you are nice people. People choose you for things. No one ever chose me for anything. Even in school, I was never made a class prefect or assistant class prefect or even the blackboard monitor, the one who wipes the blackboard. Never. And some of you, you've been class prefect before. You've been assistant class prefect. You've been assistant school prefect. How many have been prefect before? Raise your hand. Tell the truth. To add to your lies, the lies you've been telling. Yeah. School prefect. This is important. I joined the Christian Fellowship. They never made me a leader. Anything I've been a leader of, I formed it myself. Anything that I'm a leader of, I form it myself. Even the association of churches I joined in my country, when I joined it, they just ignored me. I joined it and I was a faithful member. When they were giving positions and so on, they never considered me. And I formed my own association of charisma, which is now one of the major associations. And I became the leader. And then I handed over to others. Yeah. Some of you, you are chosen for things. No one chose me. No one chose me. Nothing. I was born without gifts. I was born without gifts. But the Holy Spirit. That's why when I look at you, I say, look, you can learn to catch the anointing. One day, a guy came to me, mocked at me. He said, look at you. You are just an administrator. So, what do you mean? He said, you are just an administrator. You are just a teacher. Administrator. There's no power. Oh, he laughed and he mocked me. He said, there's no power. You don't have miracles. There's nothing. And I look at myself. I said, oh God. No miracles. No power. I decided to find miracles. That's what you see. That is why I have such great hope for you, because you are better than me. Maybe you were born with gifts. I was born without any gift, maybe without even hair on my head. And God has given me a searching for his steps. That's why I wrote the book, Steps to the Anointing. Hallelujah. Amplify your ministry with miracles. I've seen almost every miracle. Yes. Seen almost every miracle. Blind, deaf, dumb. I don't know the people. I hear there are some people who arrange miracles before they come. They arrange for miracles and whatever. Amazing. Many times I've stood in nations, I say, Lord, don't disgrace me tonight. Ish. Help me, Lord. Especially in nations which are not Christian. Everybody's come there for healing. One time I went to a country, they don't have Christians there. 99% the other religions. When after the first night, they sent a message around. They said, a grand, they speak French, a grand marabout. Do you know what is a marabout? It's like a magician. They said, a grand is big. A big magician has come. And then they started coming for the crusade for miracles. But I always remember that guy who mocked at me. Mocked me. Oh, it's no power. It's your church. You know, I'm going to another church. You don't have power. You don't have. Hey! I'm trying to encourage you to believe that if I can be standing here today encouraging you, that you'll be surprised, you'll be the greatest ever colored minister or whatever evangelist that God will use from South Africa. I tell you, when I use the word transform, that you can transform, your ministry can be transformed, amplified. Yeah. Transformed, amplified. I mean it. And that is why I put together what we call the Makanai. Do we have it now? Do we have a Makanai available? Find out, please. Thank you. Makanai. That's this. It is preaching. Because I found out that listening to preaching, you see, a lot of pastors, not yet available. Oh. It'll be available soon. It'll be available. Not going to be available yet. It's being cleared at the airport, giving us so many problems, clearing it for the last 1 week. All these are huge expenses for us, trying to make it available to you. Oh, yes. My work is to share the word of God. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to help because God is depending on some of you to do His work. The days of superstars are gone. It's time for a lot of us to rise up and do some. People who are ordinary. I will encourage you to get these things called the Makanem. Listen, I was listening because I changed by listening to messages. I find many pastors don't listen to preaching. How can you ever be a good preacher or ever become anointed if you don't listen to preaching? How can you even pray for a long time if you don't listen to preaching? You fall asleep. As you listen and you put on the preaching, it's like you are in church. And you are soaking in. And I want to encourage you to get the podcast. I have a podcast on my phone. You just receive it easy. Free. This preaching, what I'm preaching here, is going to arrive on the podcast. You don't need to pay. We are not doing business. You see, what people don't realize is that there is business where we are trying to make money. But there is ministry where you are not trying to make money. You are only trying to give the word of God. Freely have you received, freely give. This is the work of a minister. A minister is not trying to make profit. You don't go to places where it is profitable. Most of us pastors, we only go if we check profitability. That's why most African pastors go to America. But you will not go to where it's poor, Mozambique, or where they don't have anything. Never go there. Huh? Huh, pastors? We are falling, though.
We are falling far from the mark. It's time for us to rise up and return to the real Christianity that Jesus brought to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Reading is a very important ministry for a pastor. Peter said, I will give myself to the word of God and to prayer. The ministry of the word is the work to do with the word. Listening to messages, reading, praying, soaking in, because at the end of the day, you will have to say what Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, what I have, I will give to you. And you can never have unless you are receiving. When we close, or if you do it, get on your phone, download podcast, go to Play Store on your phone, or go to podcast if you have an Apple phone, and look for my name, Doug Heward Mills, and you will find my name, and then it will say subscribe. Then you just press yes, free, you subscribe. Then it will appear on your phone. What I'm preaching today, this conference, you don't have to buy it. It will appear on the phone. You will listen to it free of charge. It doesn't even use your battery. It doesn't use much credit, nothing. And you just be listening to the preaching. By all means, your life will change. You have to learn new things and new habits. You have to embrace new things that maybe was not your culture. If you can't read, you can't lead. And the information in a book will make you the difference in your life. The difference. I thank God for the books that He has given me to read. And the people. You see, the next thing is that reading a book puts you in direct contact with the author. That's the second point. Can you believe I've only given 2 points since I started preaching? And the second point is, reading a book puts you in direct contact with the author. It's not easy to meet an important person. Supposing I was an important person and I wanted to talk to all of you, how many minutes it would take me to finish talking? By 5 o'clock, I would have reached only 3 rows here. And it's time for the crusade to start. It is not easy to ever meet certain people. But through the books, you interact with them and you start to even know them and have personal blessings. I know so many things about Reinhard Bonnke, but not from personal contact. Each personal contact I have had with Reinhard Bonnke has been short. I met him in a lobby in a hotel in Indonesia. He was preaching and I was also preaching there. And we spoke for a few minutes. And just as I was getting into the conference, he told me something about his house and where he was staying and all that. Then suddenly they came to say he has to leave. And I said, wow. Then another time I met him in Lagos. He was coming for a crusade. And I was also coming for a crusade there. And we stood right there in the lobby, spoke for a few minutes, and then he had to go. That's it. Then another time I had an appointment with him. I was supposed to go to his house. He said, I should come 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, or 10 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. And then, 8 p.m. the night before, I had a call, and he said, something has come up, and Reinhard will not be available. And my heart was broken, because I was so looking forward to spending some time with this great evangelist. But I tell you, reading his biography, the number of stories in that book and the things that he says in the book, he would never be able to tell me if I sit down with him for 1 hour. Yes. Yes. So the wisdom is to give yourself to the book. Don't be too concerned about
talking to people. Sometimes you see people say, I want you to be my spiritual father. I take you as a mentor. And from today, I want you to speak into my life. I said, how can I speak into your life? I don't know you. I've just seen you here. What am I going to say into your life? Don't you see people saying those kind of things? Can you speak into my life? I've decided God has shown me that you are my spiritual father and I need you to speak into my life. I want you to mentor me. Hey! Hallelujah. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 10. Stand up on your feet, everybody, for a couple of moments, just to stretch. We are going to be ending soon, but we've not ended. Shall I give you a break for 2 minutes? Okay, lift your hands. Father, thank you for the blessing of this time. What an honor, what a blessing. We are grateful. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Okay. I'm giving you a break for 2 minutes. Remember, registration. Those of you who have not registered, register. If not, then you don't understand what I'm preaching about. All right. 2 minutes, please. I'm going to restart. I'm giving you a wee-wee break to wee-wee only. Only for wee-wee, please.